Hey, it's Charlotte. The latest episode of TV Plus Talk, the show where Chuck Joyner and I discuss all things Apple TV Plus, came out a couple of weeks ago. But because the podcast wasn't back up and running, I never dropped it into this feed. So here you go. Enjoy. Hello. Welcome to TV Plus Talk and a very happy birthday to us. We've been doing this a year, Chuck. Can you believe it?
I can't, Charlotte. It's something I look forward to every month. We've had a couple months here that things, our schedules both got a little off, but that doesn't
life
mean
happens.
There's yeah, life happens, and it doesn't mean there's not a lot going on with Apple TV Plus.
Well, that's the thing, and that's kind of it's almost like we planned this, kind of where I wanted to start, right? Which is how much has happened in the year since we've been doing this show, and how seriously now in the streaming industry Apple TV Plus has to be taken, I think.
Interesting way to phrase it, how seriously it needs to be taken.
Yeah, well, I think at the beginning people were just a bit like, oh, it's another tech company, it's Apple playing around, Tim Cook just wants to go to the Oscars. But now there's serious content there.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of it over the past year. Just the number of shows, the quality of shows, and the breadth of shows. There may not be depth from a content standpoint, but there's a crazy amount of breadth so that you're liable to find something that you're going to enjoy. The other thing, too, there was just a recent article out about Apple TV Plus, topping the quality meters. And we can have a link in the show notes to that. But I thought it was very interesting. Some of the categories, I guess it depends on, you know, things like some of the best 4K programming.
Yeah.
I'm not sure just how much that means, but there were other categories that really spoke to everything we've said over the past year about the quality.
Right. This is the thing, right? We always have talked about the quality, not the quantity, haven't we? Apple TV Plus made that play. That was their thing. And that's where we are now. And they've stuck to it. And it's kind of impressive.
It is. But I also feel like we've seen it adapt a little bit I think we talked about it at the last time we were together that Apple, you know, has a set of, I believe it was 50 movies now added into the catalog for a limited time. So, you know, interesting approach to expand that out and give some of that depth without committing to it fully.
Do you think we're going to see more of that? I know we touched on it last show, but just to slightly recap, do you think we're going to see more of this kind of deal? Because I kind of think I do. It felt to me like Apple kind of dipping its toe in the water, and then we're going to see more.
I absolutely agree. And look, it has never been published, and I don't think it's expired yet, how long those 50 movies would be available. And so let's just pretend.
Right, very Apple. Apple.
But
limited period. I'll see you in a year.
Well, maybe so, but let's just pretend that only 15-20% of those movies had any appeal for you at all. That's still a lot of content to pull you in with the potential promise of more content of that in that category coming later, maybe another batch of 50 movies.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And they're obviously dipping their toe in the water of having content that's not just Apple originals, which I think is interesting.
Very much so. Very much so.
That to me was the takeaway.
Right. But that said, the parade of Apple originals has not slowed down from an announcement standpoint. I mean, we've got some really interesting things coming up. Some I know that will appeal to you, that won't appeal to me. Some that will appeal to me, that won't appeal to you.
Yeah, I've been enjoying Dick Turpin, the completely made up tales of Dick Turpin. I've really enjoyed the first few episodes.
I was going to ask you about that because I tried it and it just –
Not you at all, is it? I knew it
wouldn't
be you. I loved it. I love Noel Fielding. I love the Mighty Boosh. He's got all those elements in there. I've really enjoyed it. Silly, but fun.
So I can't speak to this. I've got to ask you, is it something that will just appeal to the European or UK audience, or is it something that you
think
translates
well? There's
definitely
that eccentric British vibe to it, isn't there?
I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, I think so. I think there is that vibe in there.
Okay.
I've enjoyed it anyway. It's a bit different. It's something a bit different on TV Plus. I've enjoyed it.
So what announcements have you seen that you're looking most forward to?
Well, I think what's interesting is what's going to keep going as well, right? There's going to be stuff that we keep getting repeat episodes of as well, repeat series, right? So we know there's going to be more morning show, for one example. There's just been announced of a Steve Martin documentary coming up. Apparently that I want to check out Palm Royal. Apparently that's quite fun. There's a lot now to get into. And as I'm saying, talking about, returning shows, we've got Loot. That's premiering 3rd of April, which people enjoyed as well. Apple seems to have lightened up a bit, right? There's more comedy there.
There's more comedy. I'm really looking forward to Neuromancer. I think that's going to be kind of amazing. But to your point, Foundation is coming back for another season.
Yeah,
they're still working on Severance. You know that hopefully will.
Well, that's going to take a bit of time.
Yeah, seem to be some production issues there, but you know that's one more hit that's in the background that people are really anxious to have come back.
And of course, we had the writer's strike, which disrupted a lot of recording and production schedules.
Yeah.
We shouldn't forget that as things feel a bit delayed.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm making this up. Isn't Mythic Quest coming back as well?
Oh, I hope so. I haven't heard this. And there's nothing, if you look at the kind of listings page from Apple TV Plus yet, but I do hope so. Because as you know, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I thought I read something. Please don't hold me to that, folks. But I thought I read something somewhere.
I will absolutely hold you. Yeah, no. I'll be holding you absolutely accountable for it. The other thing I wanted to run by you, actually, while we're here, is Apple obviously put a lot, we've discussed it loads since we started the show, it put a lot of sway on Killers of the Flower Moon, right? Has that been flop?
I debate this kind of thing all the time, Charlotte. Mm. Maybe in dollars and cents it has not recouped. But the amount of attention it received, the amount of publicity that it gave to Apple as a video studio and for Apple TV Plus, those are the things that are harder to measure. So I don't think so. I always think it's interesting that anyone, including Apple, puts as much money and time and effort into this type of show. And I want to be really careful because I don't want to offend anyone. But, you know, this is not the most uplifting kind of story that there is.
No, quite the opposite, but it's very powerful. I think people are very interested in these kind of social justice stories looking back at history. So I can see why it sort of fitted with the time. But it was such a big hook for Apple TV Plus. I'm not sure I even know anyone that's watched it. It just seemed to be a massive swing, which is a perfectly valid thing. And I'm not quite sure it's made the hit. You know, some of the stars were not even nominated for awards, right?
Right. And I have not watched it. You know, I've seen.
Well, doesn't that, sorry to interrupt, but doesn't that say something that you and I, very committed and interested in Apple TV Plus, have actually given, and you're not like me with my terrible attention span, right? You're prepared to sit through 4 hours of Napoleon.
I did.
Doesn't that say something?
No, because I think it more than just it being Apple TV Plus, it's got to be something that people want to sit through. And so, you know, and they're, you know, we've had this discussion a few times.
You and I never argue, dear chap.
No, it's just that I'm usually right.
That's actually true.
Sorry.
No, that is actually true. I can't argue with that.
No. But I think, you know, the longer movies, if it's something I want to sit through, look, I may hit hour three and think, oh, this is dragging a little bit. But I'm probably going to continue to watch it if it's something that I went in with a positive attitude about.
Yeah.
But if you tell me that there's something really long that I have marginal interest in, I'm going to have a hard time sitting down and even getting started.
Mm. It was Lily Gladstone, wasn't it, that didn't get some of the nominations that people thought she should have got. It'll be interesting. Anyway, I'm kind of fascinated where TV Plus goes in our second year of doing the show. Oh, just so you know, we're keeping going, doing a second year, Chuck. Sorry, you don't get to escape that easily. But I just think it is interesting now. We've seen Apple dip its toe into a lot of different things, these big, long, hugely expensive movies, 30-minute comedies, bits of sport, which I'm always interested in. I want to see how it all shakes out in this year coming.
I agree. I think it's going to be very interesting because you bring up an interesting point that you just kind of glossed over. 30-minute comedies, four-hour movies. It feels like they're experimenting all over the place with everything, sports. And now I know you haven't – it's not in the UK yet, but the Vision Pro. And I will say this about the demo. I don't want to spoil the demo. If you have the opportunity to do the demo –
Sorry, we're spoiling alert tech demos now.
Exactly. But go do the demo because the experience that is within that demo about Major League Baseball really gives you an idea of what the potential is there for Apple to leverage that device and everything about it. So, you know, again, experiments.
You're such a pro, Chuck, because we're recording this on Major League Baseball opening day, and you just casually drop that in there. That's just the kind of pro you are.
Well, I will confess, I don't care a bit about Major League Baseball. But the demo is incredibly cool.
Yes, I could imagine. And I wonder if, you know, that's why Apple splashed out on getting the Major League Baseball rights. It has Friday Night Baseball. See how that expands. Same with Major League Soccer. You know, I mean, we've done whole shows on sports before, but it's obviously a play. And it doesn't surprise me at all when you tell me that there is a section in that Vision Pro demo dedicated to it.
And once again, we have to point out that Apple loves to play the long game. Mm-hmm. If something isn't a hit right out of the gate or doesn't resonate with folks, give it time. You know, it may be a matter of you evolving into it. It may be a matter of them evolving the product. But don't bet against them in the long run.
That's kind of been the theme of our whole year, hasn't it? If you think about it, from the first show, it's all been about the long game. Apple seeing, you know, what's Apple going to play out in the future. That really has been sort of what's underlined all the conversations we've had over this year.
I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but you're right.
No, I hadn't until you said it. But then when I was replaying through the stuff we've discussed, that's really what it all comes down to, right?
And Apple TV Plus, I mean, you're really right, because think about how it was derided when it first came out and it only had this many shows.
Yeah.
And people were saying, why would I pay for that? And Apple did a very smart thing. They made it super affordable back then. It was probably, if not the lowest, one of the lowest paid subscription services.
And of course, no one was really paying for at least a year because it was all given away free.
Exactly. And so, you know, they brought people in, and you can argue about the success they've had in converting them over to paid users because there have been all kind of different reports about that. But at the end of the game, it's something that you now see the Apple TV Plus logo pop up in news stories. Whenever you start seeing major studios named, guess what? Apple TV Plus is in there.
Yeah, when you start seeing discussion about, you know, however superficial these things might be, when you also start hearing conversations about major awards now, Apple is always in there. Bears repeating every week, month. It was the first streaming service to get Big Picture, Best Picture for Coda. It beat Netflix to that award. You know, Apple is in the serious game now. This kind of makes me think, actually, you flagged up a story to me, which I found fascinating, which is that a company called Fifth Season is selling more than $1 billion worth of Apple TV Plus content. The idea is basically the stuff that's been on a streamer can go to a smaller buyer for a kind of second run. It's including things like C, which stars Jason Momoa and his arms, Nicole Kidman in Raw, Servant with M. Night Shyamalan, and this is all going on at London TV screenings. I find that's kind of interesting. It's another shift, isn't it, from Apple?
I want to hear you talk more about Jason Momoa's arms. That's what I want to hear.
I mean, people could go on about those arms for ages, but anyway.
Anyway. I felt like this was a major shift, but strategically it makes a certain amount of sense because the odds are that if you have if you've wanted to watch C, and I'll pick on that one just because that's the one I did watch that was named, you probably have watched it. As I understand it, I honestly didn't even think to look. I believe it's still on Apple TV Plus, so it would still be available to me.
I don't think they've taken anything off.
Yeah, but this would potentially expose it to a wider audience. And first of all, it would generate more money from the production, the money they've invested in it. But also, more importantly, it might, you know, cause you to take a second look or third look at Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, I guess that is the intention, and also generate short-term revenue as well. I find this very interesting that they're kind of playing this game of, you know, putting out their shows to market. And right, because I always thought the idea of TV Plus was you want that show, you have to have TV Plus. It's all, that's what it is. It's an in-house TV Plus thing. You know, it's their shows. That's why they double down on the originals thing as well. But this seems to be a little shift, if I'm understanding it right.
But it also feels like the inverse of the 50 movie thing we talked about earlier.
Mm, exactly.
That, you know, it's buying content to bring in for a limited time. Now it's pushing content out. We don't know what the terms are. So is it for a limited time to, you know, Network X, or is it a protracted license? You know, we don't have that information. But the idea that it's not just trying to – one of the things Apple has always been faulted for is that they try to do everything in-house. And so maybe this is part of a strategy not to necessarily do everything in-house, just try to leverage every option. And heck, to shift it over to the tech side, maybe that's what we're seeing with the AI alleged partnership with Google.
Yes, that was an interesting story, maybe for your other show, but an interesting story. Yeah. I'm less confident about – now I'm thinking about this idea of licensing out stuff and whatever. I'm not sure it's a smart move, because I kind of think it defeats everything that TV Plus was about, which was high-quality originals. You can be seen in one place. It's really simple. This is an Apple show. You can watch it on Apple. I cover the streaming market a lot. I write about it a lot. I talk about it a lot. And the one thing that everything comes back to is fragmentation. People don't know where the show they want to watch is. I was watching a show once. It suddenly disappeared from Netflix, and I had to find it on Now TV a bit later. I didn't know where it was. And that was mid through a season. And Apple doesn't have that problem at all. It's completely separated itself from that. Its shows aren't bouncing around. But if I understand what's happening here, that could happen.
Only in the sense that it could disappear from Service X, but it still would always be on Apple TV Plus.
Yes, exactly. But it's more fragmentation, because you might find C or Servant or something like that on another platform, which adds to the sort of confusion about where stuff is.
Yeah, but it also garners more exposure for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the counter argument. I'm just not sure it's the right play.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't know about C, and now C is what, you know, how many years old when they finished the run?
Yeah. Oh, so, I don't know when they finished run. When it came out in November 2019, originally, when Apple TV Plus launched. That's when
it started. I think there were three seasons, if I remember, and somewhere you got to do pandemic math in there as well.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, now probably everyone who knew about C and wanted to see C has seen it. Sorry about that sentence.
Say that sentence again. Let's see if you can get through it again.
I'm not even going to try.
Everyone who wanted to see C has seen it.
Yes, very, very good. But now, you know, now there's a potential for discovery. And sometimes the network names just drive you nuts. Now there's a potential, though, to have that series discovered, because it'll be splashed up as new on this service, whether that's Netflix or I don't even know. You know,
in the UK, I don't know. There might be some BBC iPlayer deal. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Charlotte, I don't know if you've scrolled through all the streaming services that are out there. You know, most of them free. Some require some kind of subscription. There is stuff that no one has ever heard of. that, you know,
oh, yeah,
it's
completely.
Like, but, and frankly, some of the content is a little shaky, but mm-hmm. most of it is just, you know, they've just bought up licenses for all kind of things. So you can watch, you know, Series A on 25 different services.
So yeah, and of course, this is how Netflix started. It bought a load of stuff that was, you know, not really that valuable. We just wanted content anyway. It will be interesting to see how this plays out. Obviously, we will keep on top of it in our TV Plus talk, which, yeah, I'm proud we've made it a year, actually. And I hope people have enjoyed it. We always like to hear from you if there's stuff you want us to discuss. I guess I have to ask you, Chuck, as we sort of come to the end of this episode. In the year we've been doing this show, what's your favourite thing that you've watched on TV Plus?
Oh, wow.
I know, I put you on the spot a bit. Should I tell you mine and you can have a think?
Yeah, please do, because please do, and then I'll comment.
So the movie I thought was the best, which we talked about, was Tetris. I thought that was a really great movie. I really, really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed Shrinking, and I've really enjoyed Mythic Quest, and I think they're the best things on the platform.
I would agree. I liked Hijack.
Okay.
I would completely agree on Tetris.
You like a bit of Idris Elba time? Fair enough. Who doesn't?
Well, the funny thing is, we've talked about this. This is where you and I differ. I don't watch a series just because it stars someone. I want to buy into the premise a little bit, and then I want to enjoy the show. And so Idris Elba or not, you know, it was so well done. Mm-hmm. And part of my problem, Charlotte, is, you know, I don't think of most programming as Apple TV Plus program. I just think of it as good programming.
I think that's right. Yes. Okay. Anyway, sorry, I teased you. You were saying we both agree on Tetris. You've enjoyed Hijack. What else is there?
Foundation, of course.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look and see, because mm-hmm. I don't think there's a series that I started on Apple TV that I did not finish. So
wow.
I'm selective in what I start to watch, and I really don't like to just abandon a show. I will abandon a show happily if it's bad.
Sure.
Haven't done that with Apple TV Plus though, because
no.
Mythic Quest, you're absolutely right. Of course, Ted Lasso.
Yes, I was wondering if we could get to the end of this without discussing Ted Lasso, but of course we can't. Well, before you and I did, in the whole time I've covered TV Plus, whether it's with you or back at the Mac Observer, Ted Lasso has been the thing that really has run through everything on Apple TV Plus, hasn't it?
I mean, it was the right show at the right time, I think, because of the pandemic. I think it still would have been a hit. I don't think there's any question. You know, but it just resonated so much with people at that time. I have to call this out though. The pandemic episode of Mythic Quest was just flat out amazing.
Utterly, utterly brilliant. Because it dealt with the pandemic. I'm glad you mentioned it, because let's take a minute to dwell it, because it was utterly brilliant. It dealt with the pandemic. It dealt with all the horrors people were going through and the upset people were going through and the fear they were going through. That in real life. But from a dramatic point of view, it allowed them to move on. It acknowledged it, kept the timeline real, but it allowed the show to move on from the pandemic.
That's a very interesting point.
Didn't it? Because they acknowledged it, they dealt with it, did the coming back party, the next episode, and, you know, they didn't do what the morning show did and spend a whole season talking about the pandemic and flashing back to it. It did 45 minutes that was beautifully written and acted, and then came back to the world of Mythic Quest as we knew it. It reminded me a bit, actually, of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the final season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. The cold open starts with them all in masks dealing with the pandemic. They then flash back forward, they're all vaccinated, and they move on from the pandemic. And they go back to Brooklyn Nine-Nine as we know it, having acknowledged what had happened. And again, I thought that was really clever. I mean, it wasn't done as beautifully as the Mythic Quest episode was done, but I think that was a succinct way to do it. And actually, I thought that's where actually the morning show kind of failed.
And as we come to the end of this show, I think that just highlights the care that, look, Tim Cook is not in there in the director's chair saying this is what we're going to do.
Well, if you remember when we started, there was all sorts of stories about him passing notes to directors and things, wasn't there?
Sure. But the idea that, you know, they've hired high quality talent and that talent has delivered, you know, there are very few places I think we can say that they flat out failed.
I hope we don't sound too much like fanboys, but of course, the truth is we started doing a show on this service because we like the service. I guess the one failure I think there might have been, well, there's been a few shows they've pulled. That's one thing. I think the biggest failure might have been the Jon Stewart one because it was what it was. Some people liked it, some people didn't. Okay, fine. But it was the first kind of bit of controversy and a row as well. I think that is the closest to a real failure they've had.
That's a really interesting point. I don't see it as a failure. I guess I have to use the word failure. It's a failure of Apple from a judgment standpoint on hiring Stewart, knowing what the kind of thing he did.
Yeah.
And it was a failure on Stewart's part, not understanding the whole Apple control mentality and the fact that you're not working with just a normal media company or studio. You're working with a tech company that has other considerations.
Indeed. Well, here's to year two. I look forward to seeing you next month to do it.
Another year starts now.
See you then.
Before you go, where can folks find you?
I'm at Charlotte A. Henry across social media and head to theaddition.net for blogs on tech and media and newsletter.theaddition.net for my newsletter.
Great. And you can find me at macvoices.com, where we talk to lots of people and take on a lot of interesting tech topics. And on social media, I'm at Chuck Joyner. Thanks for watching.